Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I'm in studio with UFC fighter Walt Harris. He's going to be fighting here in Portland, April 11th, Moda Center. By the way, tickets are on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. Ticketmaster goes on sale. Walt, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
The pride of Birmingham.
Yes, sir.
Between you and Alabama Adriana, we got it covered.
Yeah.
But you're an Alabama fan, and she's an Auburn fan.
Yeah. Poor her.
Yeah?
Poor her. Roll Tide.
How did you become an Alabama fan? What was the history?
My entire family went to Alabama. I have like three people in my entire family that don't root for Alabama. That was my granddad.
Yeah.
Don't know how that happened. I guess he just wanted to be the black sheep.
Yeah.
And then my oldest son goes to Auburn right
okay.
now. Shout out Elijah.
So that's understandable.
So yeah, of course. I'm going to say those words when he walks across the stage. I was telling them about it earlier.
Yeah.
And then my brother's kind of. He teeter-totters. Who's ever number one that year is who he's rooting.
It's a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people do that. How did you get into fighting? What's the history here?
So I played ball, basketball, growing up my whole life. Played college. Tried to make it to the league. You know, it didn't work out. And then I just kind of walked into a Gold's Gym one day, and a lady came up to me and asked me about fighting. And I just, making conversation with her, and she introduced me to my coach. And I started doing mitt sessions in the racquetball room on Saturdays, and then it turned into what it is today.
The adrenaline rush that you get when you walk into a fight with the crowd, and now, pretty soon it's going to be you and somebody else fighting. What does that feel like?
Man, it's I can't even put it into words. It's the best feeling ever, because it's just mano a mano. I played team sports my whole life, so it was always I could rely on, my guys to pick me up if I was down, if I had an off night. But with a fight, it's all me, man. So whatever you put into it is what you get out of it. And, I'm a very competitive person, so going in there and testing myself against the best is always fun.
Again, we have Walt Harris in studio, UFC fighter. He will be fighting April 11th, Moda Center in Fight Night. UFC's Fight Night, big event. I know there's a huge audience for this. It's become much more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember watching UFC when you were a kid?
I do.
Who did you follow?
Chuck Liddell. He was like the guy. You know, he was the one that I just looked at and was like, I would hate to cross that guy in a dark alley. Art Jemison, he fought with like a boxing glove on. You know, those were the days it was kind of new and... you had to go in like a dark room and in a a club to kind of see it. You know, it was underground.
Yeah.
But it was so cool. In fact, the first one I believe was held in Dothan, Alabama.
Yeah.
In like 1993, and that's like 2 hours away from us. So if I'd known back then, I probably would have tried to go as a kid. But you didn't really hear much about it. But it's just to see where it is today is amazing.
I remember the first time I saw Chuck Liddell, I was on a Native American reservation because you couldn't even hold, the events couldn't even be sanctioned.
Exactly.
In California, and saw him there, and now you can turn on TV, watch it, go get a ticket and watch it in person. Do you have kids come up to you now who say, hey, I want to do this?
All the time, man. I do a lot of youth. I'm involved with the youth heavily back in Birmingham, and it's weird because I'll be coaching a basketball kid or a football kid, and they'll be trying to get into MMA, and that's kind of weird to me because I remember, and I've been in UFC, I think, 5.5, almost 6 years. When I first came in, people didn't know about it like they know now.
Yeah.
You know, and to see kids actually signing up at 12 years old to become MMA fighters, I think that's so cool.
What do you know about the guy you're fighting?
I know everything, man. I mean.
Yeah. Like, how much do you study? How much film? What do you do?
I wouldn't say I study. I mean, I watch film, but I try not to indulge too much in the other guy. I try to focus on myself. But as far as Alistair goes, he's a legend. You know, the dude has been around this sport for many years, has fought the top guys. So I'm excited to get in there and test my mettle against him.
You we talked on the commercial break about your drink. You're drinking a cold brew.
Mm-hmm.
You got no added sugar.
No.
But you added an extra shot.
Yes, sir.
That's a venti.
That is a
right
venti.
There. You went no straw. I demand a straw. Don't you think it would make more sense if they just said no lid, it saves more plastic, and give you a straw? Because that doesn't make sense to me.
I agree. Yeah, this is kind of, I mean, if you catch, I have to check it to make sure it's in the right angle because I'm gonna spill it all over myself. But you're so right. Yeah. Just put it in the cup, no lid.
I don't need a lid.
No lid.
I'm all about the environment. No lid, but I need a straw. You talked during the break too about Anaya. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Anaya.
Anaya is my stepdaughter. Me and my wife got together when she was 3 years old. You know, I stepped in and started raising her, and she's my daughter. I don't even consider her my stepdaughter, but she tragically was murdered in October on the campus, or right off campus at Auburn University.
Wow.
And you know, the case is still pending, but we're working on changing. We got a law right now, actually just passed the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday. It's going to the House. She's got a law we're enacting in Alabama. Hopefully it'll catch on in other places. And we have a couple foundations and things that we're putting together in her honor. It's been it's kind of my comeback. I was supposed to fight Allison in December,
mm-hmm.
but that happened in October. So we kind of put that on hold. And we're plugging along for her, and we're just trying to keep her name out there and make sure it never happens to anybody else.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've got three daughters, and I can't imagine that and what you've been through. Is there a part of her that you'll probably carry with you forever?
Oh, for sure. I mean, she's here right now.
Yeah.
At times, I'll be honest, you know, if I could be quite candid, it's hard to wake up and do this, you know what I mean, to train and to, you know, push and keep going. But I know, and she knows, and everybody in my family knows the sacrifices that they all made for me to be where I am. And so for me to stop now, I'd be doing her a disservice. So, I'm just going to keep pushing and keep grinding. And, you know, when I'm down and I'm tired, I can hear her telling me, "Daddy, keep going." You know, so she's my biggest fan, man. So, you know, I got to keep pushing for her.
You're talking about a foundation maybe to do something. What do you want to help with?
My portion of the foundation is going to be to teach fighters. What I'm doing is called Fighters for Anaya. We're going to do seminars, self-defense seminars, to teach women how to, you know, to take care of themselves, protect themselves, to be mindful of their surroundings, and, you know, just overall health and wellness for women. I'm also going to be teaching fighters financial literacy. We're going to do seminars to teach fighters, young and up-and-coming fighters, how to deal with, you know, the landscape of MMA, because it's growing so fast. And when I came up, I didn't have anybody there to kind of lead me and guide me. I was the only guy from the state of Alabama in the UFC at that time, you know. So I kind of want to help guys with that. And then my wife is putting together Anaya's Heart, which is going to be the central hub of everything we're doing, which will be nonprofit to, you know, kind of under the same umbrella to protect women, to empower women. She's going to do fundraisers. She's going to do we're going to have a celebrity softball game held in Anaya's honor on her birthday. You know, it's still in the early stages of it, but we got a lot of things we're planning on doing.
Fight Night 2020 will be at Moda Center April 11th. Walt Harris will be fighting. He's headlining this event. I can hear our listeners right now. I mean, you're going to have a lot of people rooting for you.
I appreciate
and
it.
Getting behind you. How much does that matter when you're in there? Do you hear the crowd?
I do, actually. and not so much once the fight starts, but like in the early stages, like when you're walking out, my coach always tells me to soak it in, you know, because just as fast as you get it, it can be gone. And so I try to interact with the fans. I try to look around and see the lights and see the people and, you know, pay attention to all that. And then when the canvas hits my feet, it's kind of go time. You know, I'm locked in and focused on what I got to do. I might walk around, like if Bruce is doing the announcement, me and Bruce have our little thing because that's my buddy. And then I'll say stuff to people outside, you know, like might see Chelsea sitting beside the ring and I'll just be like, "What's up?" You know, to kind of break that, you know, tension, you know, because it's stressful. And then I see him come in or whatever, then it's time to go.
You hear it, we see the fights, and like with McGregor and Mayweather, it was a lot of hype before the fight about boxing or UFC. What do you think about that whole debate? You want to see a boxer and a UFC fighter fight again?
Yeah, if it makes sense. I don't want to see it done just because they can do it. You know what I mean? Like, if guys have good stand-up when it comes to boxing, I would like to see, you know, top guys cross over and make, you know, big fights happen.
Yeah.
With the Conor and Floyd thing, it was just perfect timing. I think it needed to happen. You know what I mean? I think they were on a collision course because they're kind of the same kind of person, just in two different fields. So I thought that was great.
The level of conditioning you have to be in one of these fights, what, compare it to like growing up playing basketball or football, or what's the conditioning like?
I think there's different systems that are at work in each sport, but as far as MMA, you got to be conditioned on so many different levels. I think basketball can add to your conditioning to help you fight, but fighting, I mean, you got so many things you're worried about. You got to worry about grappling. You got to be able to punch after you're grappling, which is so hard, you know, because your blood fills up in your arm.
Yeah.
You know, but it takes a supreme focus to get in shape for a fight, for sure. It's a different level.
Do you know when you're ready? Is there a moment where you're like, okay, I'm ready?
Yeah, it's probably about, for me, I'm always training. So when I get to about 4 weeks in the camp, I feel like, whew, I can go tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, you just get that feeling like you can take on the world and your lungs are open and you're clear and you're thinking, you know, just focused on the fight. So, yeah, that's definitely that point.
Talking to UFC fighter Walt Harris, April 11th, Moda Center. He'll be a headliner there. Be fighting Alistair Overeem in this fight on Fight Night 2020. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. on Ticketmaster if you're somebody who wants to get involved in this. I was in Vegas one night several years ago, and I ran into a boxer who's, and I wondered, in a crowd like that, people knew he was a boxer. He was a professional fighter. I wondered if people would single him out, try to pick a fight. Do you get some of that? Because people know now, hey, if I catch Walt at the right moment, I could say I knocked out a UFC fighter.
Yeah, I've had, honestly, it's weird. Since I started fighting, I've had more guys try to get into it with me than before I was fighting. And I think it's more of a thing of, like, when you mix, for like instance, if you're in a club, you know, like after party or something like that, guys are drinking and you know, alcohol always is a bad mix, you know, testosterone. So guys will feel like they can, you know, push your buttons or get you to do something. But since I became a martial artist, I'm more apt to, like, recognize it. And I just kind of laugh it off, you know.
Yeah, because you can't get into that. That's not good for you.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah. Well, the thing is, I looked up the laws. You have to physically attack me first, and then I can defend myself.
Yeah.
You know, but...
But it's never going to look good.
It's never going to look good.
Joe McGee punches Walt.
I walk away from, you know, that situation. And then it's funny. I had a situation one time. I was at a bar actually back home. And I was just standing there minding my business. Shoulder barges.
Yeah.
And he was so out of it. I don't think he even recognized who I was. Yeah. He just was like, boom. And I just turned around. Like, and the dude's like, what's up? And the dude was a big dude. He's about 6'6".
Yeah.
Like, you know, probably about 250. And I just laughed. And the guy thought that was so weird that, like, I wasn't intimidated. And then the crowd around him was like, dude, you know who that is?
Yeah.
And then they kind of start telling him. And you could see him sober up. He was like, I'm sorry, man, my bad. And I was like, oh, it's cool, bro. You know, he's like, you're a cool dude. And I just kind of, like, bought him a drink and, like, kept it moving. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't feel like it's worth it. You know, plus I'm a father and I got kids. Like, I can't be out here fighting people, and, you know, it's pointless. You know?
You know, one time I didn't know what I was doing. I got assigned, I'm a newspaper columnist at the Oregonian, but I was working in California and I got assigned to go do this story about this UFC MMA fighter who was working with the FBI now. He was teaching them how to grapple, how to take a weapon away. It was Hoist Gracie. I didn't know who it was.
Are you serious?
But I walked in and I'm there to cover it. It's me and like six guys who are grappling on the, and he says to me, do you want to try this? So I got to wrestle him. It lasted about 30 seconds. He's like a serpent.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have to throw a punch.
He gets a hold. I've heard that he grabs you and it's like you're in a bear trap. Like, you're not moving.
Yeah, he let me go at the end, but I was starting to see stars. But he literally could put his hand, because he knew all the pressure points around your neck. How much do you study that stuff? What are the?
I do all of that. Jiu-jitsu is, I definitely was consider it like the least, it's not the best part of my game.
Yeah.
I'm good at it. I can do it, but it's something that I'm intrigued by because I have so much more to learn. And I'll roll with smaller guys, and they'll put me in positions, and I'm like, dude, how in the world did you do that?
Yeah.
Teach me that, you know? So
he won UFC 1 without throwing a punch.
Without throwing a single punch.
Yeah.
And he fought a guy, I think, he broke a guy that was like 300 pounds, like broke his arm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the dude just was on a different level because he knew things that they didn't know.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and I couldn't get him off of me. That was the thing. He was, it was just like having
like a wet blanket.
It was. Or having like, you know, you ever had a spider crawl on your back and you can't get it? And you're like, yeah. You know, I couldn't get him off. And then he literally just put his hand. And it was like, I'm going to go to sleep here
if I don't tell.
Mike, let me go. I have nothing to prove.
Always crazy.
That moment when you know you've got a guy, what does that feel like?
Top of the world. You land a punch and you see the reaction and you're like, yeah, it's time. Like, I smell the blood in the water.
Yeah.
You know, and I go in for the kill. Like, some guys, they'll kind of back off, kind of gauge it. I just have an ability to kind of like see the moment and try to capitalize.
You have to seize right there.
Yeah, because in this sport, especially at the highest level in the UFC, like, guys recover. You know, I made the mistake my first UFC fight of allowing the guy to recover, and I ended up losing a split decision to that guy. You know what I mean? I dropped him twice, and I was like overly cautious.
Yeah.
Because I was my first fight in the UFC.
Don't get knocked out.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was just like he was a grappler.
Yeah.
So I hit him. And he went to the ground, and he grabbed my leg, and I was like, okay, this dude's still here.
Yeah.
So I got out of it. Instead of going in and just trying to put him away, I backed off. He got up. I dropped him again. He did the same thing. I backed off. He ended up making it to the end of the fight, and I learned from that. I was like, never again will I rock someone and allow him to get off the hook.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw everything I got at you. And I trained for that. You know what I mean? Like, I trained in the gym to just throw a million punches and recover from it. You know?
Yeah.
So
you in the best shape of your life?
Right now, no.
Okay.
I will be, though, in like 3 weeks.
What does that take? Like, from here, like, how many? If I grab you in the middle of, you know, you're not training for a fight, and I say, hey, we want you to fight for the championship, how much time do you need?
4 weeks.
Okay.
For me, I mean, because like I said, I'm always training, but to get in my shape, you know, it takes me like 2 weeks to get to good shape, and then for me to be comfortable, 4 weeks.
What will you weigh on fight night?
Probably 250.
What do you weigh now?
Right now, I think I'm 275.
Wow.
So I'll probably drop 25 pounds.
What's that secret? Everybody listening is going, ask him how to lose 25 pounds in 4 weeks.
Train four times a day, eat extremely clean, and don't eat sugar. You're on the right path.
I'm on the right. I've been giving it up. I don't feel good, though.
I'm telling you, you're going to break through that wall in a week. It may be a 2 weeks, but you're going to hit a point where you go, damn, I feel good.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be up to you to keep it going. Like, I hit a point where I promise you could bring a box of sweets in here right now. I won't touch them.
Doesn't look good to
Doesn't
you.
Doesn't even look good. I don't even eat my kid's birthday cake.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't enjoy sweets. But you bring a block of cheese in here.
Yeah.
It's on. And some wine. You want to throw some wine on that, too? Oh, we got a party.
You're in wine country. So after you win on April 11th, spend a couple days, go out to Oregon wine country.
I'm thinking I'm going to do that. I was planning. Oh, yeah. I can't say that on the radio because it's a surprise.
Okay.
But anyway, I think I'll do that.
Okay.
I need to get some info from you.
I'll give you the info. Wald Harris, UFC Fight Night 2020, Moda Center, April 11th. Tickets on sale tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Grab them. You want those best seats. Is a UFC fight a good date night? I was just going to say that, and then I figured I better ask you.
I think so, yeah.
You can take your significant other to a UFC fight, and it's a good scene?
Yeah.
It's a good night out?
For sure.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you, man. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
All right, leave it right here. You got the BFT statewide. I rather enjoyed that interview with Wald Harris, UFC fighter. He will go into that April 11th event as an underdog. You could tell he's got a good heart, and his daughter, Anaya, who passed away last year, he cares about her. That's who we were talking about as he was leaving the studio now. Alabama Adriana, you connected with him, the Pride of Birmingham, and the Pride of Birmingham. Will you go on April 11th and root for Walt Harris?
I would love to. I've actually never seen a fight like that in real life, so.
I have mixed feelings about it because I used to go back in the day when this sport first started. I would go to, like, the Native American reservations, and that I was charged with, like, make sense of this event. Cover this MMA event. And it wasn't UFC. It was just, like, an MMA-sanctioned event. And they had to go to tribal land because it wasn't sanctioned, like, by the state boxing administration in California. And I went out to this Native American reservation in Central California, and I'm watching this fight, and Chuck Liddell is there, and everybody, you know, like the greats of MMA, UFC fighting are there. And one of the undercard events, they literally did pick a guy out of the crowd because somebody didn't show up. One of the fighters didn't show up, and they literally went into the crowd to a dude and said, "Hey, our fighter didn't show. Somebody knew somebody," and they pulled him out of the crowd. The guy had just had a Subway sandwich like an hour earlier, and he's in there fighting. And he ended up getting knocked out and threw up the sandwich. I interviewed him after, and I only knew that because, like, I was like, "What happened?" He's like, "Dude, they just picked me out of the crowd." And he didn't know he was fighting. He didn't know he was even fighting. And he showed up there, but they had to have a fight because they sold tickets. But he was one of the undercards. And I remember being really turned off by it. But I've also had the same experience with boxing. I covered a boxing match that was kind of a low-level boxing match. Same type of thing. Go check it out and write about it. It's one of the undercards. I saw the guy before the fight, and he's got his kids there at the fight. They're like 5 and 6 years old, and he's hugging them, and then he's going backstage to tape up his hands, and then he comes out, and he's fighting, and he looked really good for like a round. And then you don't realize in those sports how throwing punches, how fatiguing it is. After a while, he couldn't lift his hands because he'd thrown so many punches. He was tired, and the guy just went, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. It was like Popeye and Bluto, just beat him up. And I felt so bad because I was like, I'm watching like the daddy of a 5 and 6 year old just get his ass beat in the ring. And I just felt horrible. And like, nobody wants to see some, like, cause for a 5 year old, 6 year old kid, your dad is like the greatest, the strongest. "Dad, you're so strong." My 3 year old says that to me. "Dad, you're so strong." And I'm like, "Yeah, I am. Feel that. Did you lose a softball?" That's my bicep. But the bottom line is nobody wants to see somebody's daddy just get pummeled.
Yeah, it is different when you know the person. You have like an emotional attachment to that person. I would assume that it would be really like sort of like traumatic to see them get really injured like that.
Yeah, you think? Would you if you were dating a guy who was a UFC fighter, would you want to be there like Adrian was for Rocky, sitting ringside, or would it be too much for you? "I can't watch this happen. I'll just wait backstage, or I'll be at home."
I definitely wouldn't stay at home. I would at least try to be out there. I would like to be supportive as much as possible. But I don't know. Like, I've never seen my significant other be pummeled like that. So I wouldn't know until I tried it at least once.
Have you ever been in a fight? Would you want to fight UFC?
I actually have thought about it. I have a pretty strong interest in at least trying it. But I really have thought about it more than once.
Have you been in a fight? You didn't even answer the question. That must be a yes.
not in a long-lasting fight.
You knocked the other girl out? Was it a girl?
It was actually a guy.
You fought a guy?
Yeah.
You actually threw punches with a guy?
A kick. One kick to the chest, and it was over.
You kicked him?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
For good reason.
We need to get him on the show. If he can still talk. Could you imagine her fighting with those long legs?
No.
Just bap. It would be like that Street Fighter video game.
I was wearing combat boots, too.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So much. See, we think you know you. And then every day we find out something new.
I have to say, it was for good reason. He was being terrible to my best friend, so.
And you just went, instead of saying, hey, you're being terrible to my friend, you just lifted your foot and hit him right in the solar plexus.
I tried to tell him that he was being terrible, and he didn't listen, so.
Make sure if she tells you, Peter, that you're being terrible, that you pay attention or get your fists up.
I dare her to kick me.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. All right, coming up, we have our big splash. It's the biggest thing going on in the world today. Also, Artie Wilson Jr. will be here to talk about the Negro League Hall of Fame event going on tonight. The Portland Diamond Project's putting that on. It's going to be a great discussion. Kelly Graves, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach, he's going to join us from the tarmac as the team plane is preparing.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.